Drama group, that's not good enough. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going to close the service, but just before we do, I would like to make one or two comments on that lovely playlet. My wife and I were just saying to ourselves, it's so real. It is so real. Every day, people are going through these things. And you need to be, there's a saying, they say it in the world, it's not in the Bible, they say it in the world, but it's the truth. You do not cut your nose to spite your face. It is foolishness for you to be fighting with somebody or holding something in your heart because of what they've done. They are not the problem. The problem is how you respond. And God is going to hold you responsible for how you respond. God will deal with the person. That's not your business. Your own business is making your heart free so that the answers to your prayer can come. Thank God there, Bolu there had a second chance. But sometimes we may not get a second chance. Especially if we have been properly taught and instructed. And so, as we go into this Christmas season, owe nobody anything except love. That's all you owe people. You owe them the love of God. The blood of Jesus, the life of God, prayer, and then whatever you can do that God enables you to do. The Bible says it this way. He says that if you see your brother have need and you have the goods of this world, and you shut, it means that you can open it. It's an act of your will. You can shut it or you can open it. Your bowels of compassion. He says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He says, let us not love in word or in tongue, but let's love in deed and in truth. And so, brethren, remember that all our lives are interconnected. You do not know when you're going to need the power of God in a particular situation. Like this drama, you know, when that little child was sick, it was not the fault of the little child. And that puts me into remembrance. I ask the Holy Spirit to please remind me. I wanted to make a comment on that. It's very, very important. See, your past life, when things happen to you in life, maybe like a child falls sick, God forbid, or you get some type of affliction. Or it's not God punishing you. It's never. It is Satan attacking you. Understand that. God does not do evil. God does not afflict. It is the Satan that afflicts, sometimes allowed by God because of our disobedience, intransigence, whatever. You know, but it is not God. And he's not punishing you for something bad that you did. He's allowing that to come so that you can repent and so that you can get closer to God and then you can overcome him. Never forget this. Never ever forget it. When you're faced with a trial and situation, don't start saying, "Ah, what did I do? What sin did I commit? That's not the God is punishing me." No, no, no. Go to God. You go to God. The Bible says, submit yourself unto God. Then resist the devil. Then he will flee from you. Everybody submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Many Christians want to resist the devil without submitting to God. It doesn't work. You submit to God first. How do you submit to God? Honesty. Humility of heart. That's how you submit to God. Forgive other people. Let it go. God said, when you stand praying, forgive. So to obey that is to submit to God. It is when you submit to God that you will have the strength and the power to overcome what Satan brought. Going back to the issue of David, because it was mentioned in the skit, and I really liked it, you know, that God allowed the baby to die. It's true. But you must understand what David did. Why that thing happened. It was not that God was trying to kill the baby and God was wicked and all that kind of thing. If David had repented much earlier, that thing would never have happened. It wasn't so much that he committed adultery and murder, which was horrible, but he sat on it. Not 2 weeks. It takes 9 months to have a baby. We're looking at months, if not a year. After he committed the adultery, then he got the husband killed, and then he sat down. And finally, when his friend Nathan, who was also probably going to go and confront him, you know, and gave him a parable, David said, that man is a very wicked man. How can he do such a thing? You know? And they said, thou art the man. And he said, the sword will not depart from your house. Now we know the story. God was merciful. That first child, then they had another boy, Solomon. And I was sharing stuff with this recently with somebody. Do you know it was in my personal Bible reading? You know, I mean, all these stories I know them, but you know that's why you need to read your Bible every day. It's fresh. Do you know the person that God sent to David when Solomon was born? Nathan. The same Nathan. And it was God who gave Nathan the name for the baby and called him the beloved of the Lord. Jedidah. He called him the beloved of the Lord. And Solomon grew up, and of all the princes in the palace, it was Solomon that God chose to become king. What was God trying to say? What you did in the past, I've put it behind me. Now, Solomon messed up. That's another story. That's not God's fault. But God is always a good God. He always does that which is right. And so, brethren, let's learn this lesson as we transit into this new year. I just remembered another thing. It just came to me. You know, I was telling my wife as she was sitting down. I said, you don't know the depth of what you have said. When we're talking about quantum leap. And then Pastor Praise was, you know, explaining a little bit about the physics and all of that. But the word that came to me, that struck me, and I want to leave this with us, and it's going to give you great hope, is the word confinement. Confinement. In many materials, especially like semiconductors, certain electrons are confined. They are bound into certain energy states. They cannot go away from there. Then you have higher energy levels, and in between them, like he said, is a forbidden energy gap. The black man has been confined. Have you noticed? Look at Nigeria. One of the greatest countries in the world, by every standard. The city is blessed by the water, a great, but something seems to be confining us. We just can't seem to get our act together. I was sharing with Pastor Brega. I was telling Mommy when she shared this quantum leap thing. I said I was saying the same thing recently to Pastor Brega and some of the other pastors. Maybe, I don't know when we're sharing, we're watching something or something. And I was saying, you know, look at the Asians. Look at the Europeans. And the Arabs, you know, they're all those, you know, sons of Shem. Look at Dubai. Nigeria had more money than Dubai in the 1970s. Dubai now is one of the fastest growing technological hubs in the world. They're now doing drones with taxis. They're now doing taxi with drones. We're still trying to build metro line. We are still trying to build. I was looking at the railway that they were doing. It's the old gauge. I was angry. I said, how can we be doing this in 2019? The gauge they were using, the cowboys. Why didn't we go for the main modern one? An enemy has done this. It is a consequence of what happened with Noah and Ham. He had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. The father of the Europeans, what we call the Caucasians, is Japheth. The father of the Asians, all that group, is Shem. The Israelis, the Arabs, all of that is Shem. That is why all of them wrote things down. You can write scientific papers today. You can write papers in physics and in engineering and in any kind of, you know, any area. You can write it in Japanese. You can write it in Russian. You can write it in Chinese. You can write it in Arabic. But you can't write it in Yoruba. You can't write it in Igbo. Even our alphabets were borrowed from Latin. But that's not the end of the story. I'm tying into this drama that we've just watched. And all we've heard in all the songs singing, that Christ be formed in us. The only hope for the black man is Jesus. I told my wife, I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand the depth of what you said. All those electrons are confined. The word confined is confined. Except you get light from outside at a particular frequency. This is what's called the photoelectric effect. That's what I did for my PhD, solar cells. It is the principle on which it operates. You have to have light from outside at a particular frequency that will excite the electrons and raise them to a higher energy level that will make them jump across the forbidden bar. That's why it's called a quantum leap. It moves from its confined energy level because of energy that is received from an external source. And then it jumps the forbidden gap into a conduction level. And then it begins to operate where it could never operate before. God the Holy Spirit is shining light in Molede. Is shining light. That's why he zoned this thing to beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. So that the light that is coming from God will now take us out of our confinement and give us a quantum leap into the conduction band. And then shall come to pass that which is written, that the last shall become first. But for it to work, you must forgive. Clean your heart out, folks. Stop playing church. It doesn't matter what they said. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, all that is childish stuff. Your destiny is at stake. Forgive them, let them go. So that you can be free. And you can get your quantum leap. Stand to your feet.
And I want to say to our young people, don't long for freedom. Don't long for freedom. Don't try to be like the sons of Shem and sons. Don't long for freedom. The discipline is a strength for us. That is what is attracting God to us. Now, youth, stay put. Jesus said to them, stay, tarry in the upper room
until
you be endued with power from on high. They lost many things.
And they don't know they have lost
when they took power from parents and gave to children. Child left himself with his parents to shame. Don't long for freedom. Don't look at those films and want to be like them. Parents, discipline your children. Don't give them unnecessary freedom. Because I know, when I saw those children today, prophetically a word came for me. Said, that is your future. Your strength is in your discipline. A child that is left himself will bring his parents to shame. Look at what happened. Just go by some generations. It was this generation in England that had discipline. That would open doors for ladies and wrong words would not come out from their mouths. But everything is lost now. And they threw God out of the church, out of schools. Don't long for freedom. In Christ alone. Says you will know the truth. And it's only His truth that will set you free. Don't compare yourselves with others. Don't. Parents. Don't. What we have is a gem. And that is the strength that's going to. Yes. That's going to give us that breaker company. Amen. Brethren, this thing is so real in my heart. It's so real in my heart. And it's so true. It says, therefore, God is taking me back to what He says about the church. The house of a pastor, His children must be honored.
With all gravity means so badness.
His home, his children must be under subjection. Brethren, the man, if he can't do it, disqualifies himself from being a pastor. So
if
how
he does not know how to take care of his house, how shall he take care of the church?
So if and the home is the unit of the church. So if you do not have disciplined children, how can God use us to
discipline a flock?
To have that quantum loop and become iconic. God is looking for a standard. And that's why He's looking back to us. Remember Obama? It was because they could not find anything. They looked for him, they could not find. God had mercy on him. If he did 100, brethren, students, children, keep your nose clean. I'm a disciplinarian, I know. Initially, your children may not be your friends, but later on, they will love you because they will appreciate you. And they will know that the strength you are building them, it's what is taking them, giving that them that edge above others. Stay there, brethren. One with God in the majority.
What mommy has just said was inside my heart. And I'm so glad. It was one of the things I wanted to say. And I'm so glad she has said it. We look at the whites. I'm talking about the Caucasians. Typified by England and America and then all the others. There is this so-called liberty. They don't beat their children anymore. Pastor Wally grew up in England. Pastor Wally was born in England. He was born in 1963. When he was in England, he was in primary school. We used to pass his school in a place, near a place called Oval. When Pastor Wally was in primary school in England, I'm talking about in the late 1960s and in the early 70s, they used to beat them. They used to beat them in his school. But in the last 50 years, they have, is now even against the law. So another generation has arisen that does not have fear of respect for parents or anything. And that is why they have disinherited themselves. The Asians, the Chinese, they want to copy them. They are copying them. You see them, they will do their hair like this. They will do this. They want to be like them. And they are falling asleep, but the Africans. Those of us who our head is correct, we realize that, like mommy has said, it will be a big mistake. Don't try and be like them. Don't, in that area, don't try and be like them. Discipline your children. Beat them. I was telling the, but mommy wasn't there that day. I was talking to the pastors and their wives and all the pastors' children in my house. I brought one koboko out. I was showing it to Grace Lois and Enoch. And I told them, I said, you know what this is? How we used to beat, Pastor Kwega and I, we used to beat Daniel and Josh Olubi. One time Josh Olubi did something wrong. He told Pastor Kule, he said, beat me yourself. He said, don't tell my dad. He said, beat me yourself. The greatest disservice you can do to disinherit yourself from this great light that is coming is to remove honesty and humility and reverence and order from the lives of your children. The reason why God has helped us, my own generation in particular, is that we were brought up with order. So we carried it into Christianity. We carried it into Christianity. When I was growing up, it didn't matter who your father was. It didn't matter how much money you had. That was not what was important in society. What was important is the children who were well behaved, who were well brought up, who did well in school. Those were the things that mattered. And that's why we're carrying the revelation we're carrying today. If we didn't have those attitudes, we would have blocked revelation knowledge. I was talking about Brigadier Johnson, my late uncle, Landry's father. When we were young, when we used to go to their house on holiday, you know, he was in the Lagos house then. He was governor. I can still remember. Uncle had koboko. True story. God help you if you get up and you don't make your bed. There were servants inside the house. House boys, servants, they could. This government house. Lagos house, where they will make your bed for you. My uncle will beat the nonsense out of you with koboko. So everybody in the morning, you have to make your bed and make your room. Then on Saturdays, we will take coconut, cut it into two, and polish the floor. There was money there. There was servants there. But he realized because his father taught him. If you make a child have a sense of entitlement, you will destroy their life. sons of governor, they were carrying downfo. They used to go to school by public transport. Larry went to St. Finbar's. Shei went to St. Finbar's. They would take, after they had done the coup and everything, they would take downfo from Ilukweju, like everybody else. There were about 6 cars in the house. It's a lesson. What mommy has said today is so important. Discipline your children. Look at those little kids. Beat them. They will not die. Don't let the devil put that nonsense into your head. Let not your soul spare for his crime. Beat him with the rod, and you will deliver his soul from hell. The reason why so many are going to hell now is because they were not beaten when they were young. I did not write the Bible. I'm not talking about child abuse. Don't abuse your children and all that kind of thing. But discipline them. Let them know that there is a price to pay when you do something wrong. And when you say, I will beat you, beat him. Otherwise, you're a liar. Let them know you are like God. When you say something, you watch over that word to perform it. If you do this, I will beat you. When my children were here, I say, you know I'm going to beat you. You say, yes. I say, you know why? I told Joshua Lubi. You say, yes. He said, because you don't want me to go to hell. I say, correct. Oh, yeah? Yes. Yes. Our children haven't turned out badly. The beating did not kill them. It's a lie. When Itunu was in Form 1 or something in Lyford, she was rude, I think, to Miss Zaino or something. I can't remember. You know. My wife called me. You would have thought that there was fire on the mountain. She said, Daddy, Emma Bo. I'm only kilo day, only a sham. Ah. She said, just come. Ah. I said, okay. So I now go to school. We were still using University Christian then. So she now told me what happened. We told Mrs. Esson, who was principal then, we said, please leave us. Because they would start begging. You know how people are so sentimental. I said, please just leave us. We locked the door of the office. Just me and my wife. Atori. We beat the nonsense. Never in your life will you be rude to somebody in authority because it's your parents who own the school. And she learned that Itunu is one of the most respectful. Itunu is so respectful. You see everybody, oh, Mama Kulen. The beating dog did it. It's not only talk. The Bible does not say teach a child. It said train a child. Training requires instruction and beating because of the sin nature. The sin nature will not respond to instruction alone. That is why the blueness of the wound cleanseth evil and stripes the inward parts of the belly. And you must live by example. You cannot be a hypocrite and say one thing and then do another. It's not going to work. 4 things. I will say prayer. Example. Instruction. And discipline.
Don't go and crucify your pastor and pastor's wife in front of the children. And then you expect them to listen to the pastor when he's praying your lips. They know you are fake. Hey! They read you more than what you say. What you say is not as powerful as the life you live before them. Live right before your children. They call me Lord, Lord, but their heart is far from. Be role models to your children that will take them across the forbidden gap. Quantum leap. When you're not there. Thank you,
Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. Hey, you will live and you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn over and say, by the light of God, through the entrance of his word, you are quantum leaping from your confinement into your destiny. God bless you. Hallelujah.